Mark chapter 3, verses 28 through 30. The unpardonable sin. Truly, I say to you, all sins shall be forgiven the sons of men, and whatever blasphemies they utter. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin, because they were saying, he has an unclean spirit. Have you ever wondered if you have committed the unpardonable sin? Boy, wouldn't Satan like to convince us of that? Why even bother? Why even try to be a Christian? You can't be. You've committed the unpardonable sin. I don't know about you, but if someone could convince me of that, boy, I'd just, you know, who cares how you live at that point? Who cares even if you do live at that point? And I'm sure the accuser, the deceiver, Satan, would like to point his finger at every one of us and just say, I think you've done that. No, if you're here today, you haven't done that. Or you wouldn't be here today. Murder? Check it out in the Bible. Moses committed murder. David committed murder. Even the Apostle Paul, before he was saved, committed murder. Those sins were not unpardonable. Sexual immorality? Look at Lot. Look at Judah. Both of them. Terrible sexual sins. Drunkenness. Noah. Lot. Oh, but how about denying Christ? That's got to be the unpardonable sin, denying Christ. No. Check out Peter in the New Testament. Let's not forget Manasseh. 2 Chronicles 29:6 said, he sacrificed his sons in the fire of the valley of Beth Hinnom, practiced sorcery, divination, and witchcraft. He consulted mediums and spiritists. He did much evil in the eyes of the Lord, provoking him to anger. He was one of the worst kings of Israel. And yet, he turned, he repented, and the Lord forgave him. What brought on this statement by Jesus? The context, the scribes in Mark 3:22, the scribes who came down from Jerusalem were saying, he is possessed by Beelzebub, and he casts out the demons by the ruler of the demons. They were saying that Jesus was filled with Satan, Beelzebub, Lord of Dung. To understand the seriousness of this sin, you have to understand John chapter 16, verses 5 through 11, if you'd like to turn there. But now I'm going to him who sent me. Jesus is speaking here. And none of you asked me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Verse 8 gives us the ministry of the Helper, who is the Holy Spirit. Now, these are the things that the Holy Spirit does. And he, when he comes, will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Those are things that bring us to salvation. Those are why we come to know Jesus as our Savior. He goes on to say, concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. And that's our natural state. When we're born, we have no idea who Jesus is. Someone told us. Each one of someone told us about Jesus and what he did for us. Maybe in vacation Bible school, maybe in after school clubs, maybe in a youth group, maybe in a church service. Somewhere along the line, someone told you about Jesus. Now, I have a lot of friends who post things on Facebook, and I wonder about their relationship with the Lord. And I wonder, does this person really know the Lord? No, they've come up in a good church, and in some cases, they've gone to Bible college, but do they really know the Lord? You can grow up in church and not believe. That's why we share the gospel sometimes in church services. Because there are people, yeah, they're Baptist, but they're not Christian. Or they're Catholic, but they're not, they're Methodist, and they're not Christian. There's a certain percentage, I think, in every church who know Jesus. But there's a certain percentage in each church that I don't think they know Jesus. And that's why we continue to share the gospel. Well, the first thing the Holy Spirit is, he convicts us of sin. He tells us that what we're doing is wrong. Now, I can remember one time in my life when I was doing something that was wrong. And it was something that was kind of silly. I was up at Word of Life Bible Institute, and we sang at the island. The whole choir sang. We had John Peterson there, and he directed us. And so we gave up our day off to go sing on the island. Well, I thought, since I gave up my day off, I should be able to go down to the local diner and get some rice pudding. Would you break the rules for a bowl of rice pudding? I don't know what I was thinking. But myself and a friend decided to go off campus when we shouldn't have. And wouldn't you know, we met the leader of our group who was walking back from the island 9 miles, and he just happened to be coming through the gate as we were going out. And I can remember he said to me, if you didn't feel a twinge of guilt when you left campus, then you might not know the Lord as your Savior. And I could tell you the exact spot where I had felt the Holy Spirit saying, you're doing what's wrong. Because he convicted us of sin when we came to Christ as our Savior. But he continues to work in our lives in that way as Christians. So concerning sins, because they believe not in me, the greatest sin is unbelief. And we don't believe in him. Concerning righteousness, he says, because I go to the Father and you no longer see me. Righteousness, I think, here is the righteousness of Christ in us, that Christ is righteous, that Christ is enough to pay for our sin, and that when I trust in him, I receive the righteousness of Christ. God no longer sees my sinfulness, he sees Christ's righteousness, and I'm forever changed. And concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. Verse 11. Judgment, especially the judgment of Satan. So these are the things that the Holy Spirit convinces us of as we become Christians and as we walk the Christian life. Without the work of the Holy Spirit, a person cannot become a Christian. So the unpardonable sin then is refusing to receive the saving power of the Holy Spirit in your life. The gospel is just the opposite of what the scribes had been saying. How can a person become hard-hearted? One commentator said there is only one condition of forgiveness, and that is the penitence. So long as a man sees loveliness in Christ, so long as he hates his sin, even if he cannot leave it, even if he is in the mud and mire, he can still be forgiven. But if a man by repeatedly refuses God's guidance, has lost the ability to recognize goodness when he sees it, if he has got his moral values inverted until evil to him is good and good to him is evil, then even when he is confronted by Jesus, he is conscious of no sin. He cannot repent and therefore he can never be forgiven. That is the sin against the Holy Spirit. A few years ago, there was a very popular book out called The Hunger Games. In it, there were two classes of people. The heroine was a young woman named Katniss Everdeen, who took the place of her young sister in the game of survival. What do you look for in a heroine? Do you want courage, integrity, self-sacrifice, mercy, love of liberty? You'll find them all in this film's heroine. this month, the month of June in America, we're not celebrating these ideals, but just the opposite. We're looking more and more like the villains in the Hunger Games. This reminds me of the glorification of pride in our culture. The very people that we would look at in this movie and say, those people are just so gaudy, they're so material, they're so into themselves, they're not thinking of the people in the whole nation, but just in the capital. I like how Matt Chandler puts it, the blasphemy of the spirit is the knowledgeable, willful, and continued rebellion against the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Sam Storm adds, it is not a careless act, but a calloused attitude. It is not mere denial, but determined denial. Not mere rejection, but wanted, willful, wicked, wide-eyed rejection. It's a deliberate refusal of the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit. And the writer of Hebrews would say, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? What would give us the idea that we could make our own way to God after He made the only way and at such a great price? That would be to discount the sacrifice of Jesus, God's Son. Would we not deserve to be lost forever? For Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. The implementation of that way is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit exposes in us the reality of sin. He tells us, demonstrates to us that we really are sinners. He reveals to us the righteousness and the righteous standards of Jesus Christ. And then he confirms that there will be a future judgment. In Hebrews chapter 3, the Holy Spirit speaks to this subject. He says, therefore, just as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me, as in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tried me by testing me and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with this generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they did not know my ways. As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Take care, brethren, that there be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. But encourage one another day after day, as long as it is called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end. While it is said today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me. For who provoked him when they had heard? Indeed, did not all those who came out of Egypt led by Moses? And with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient? So we see that they were not able to enter because of unbelief. Have you heard the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart, convicting you of sin, of the righteousness of Christ and the righteous standards of Christ? Has he, in fact, confirmed in your heart that there is a coming justice or judgment, that God will judge the world and each individual in it? Well, if you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, today is the day you should put your trust in him. To not wait any longer, but to trust him as your Savior. It's as simple as the publican in the temple that day. When Jesus was looking on, he prayed, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Save me. And we add, in Jesus' name. It's a simple sinner's prayer. That when he reveals to us our sin and his righteousness and the future judgment, through the power and presence of his Holy Spirit in our lives, we come to faith, believing. And then we express it in that little prayer, that our trust is not in ourselves or in our own righteousness, but in his righteousness for us. So trust him today, if you never have before. And then if the Lord gives you the victory in any area of your life, build on that victory. We're studying the book of Judges in Sunday school, and we realized that there was a pattern, an up and down, kind of a roller coaster ride in the book of Judges, that the people would sin, that they would be enslaved, that they would cry out to the Lord, that the Lord would send a judge who would deliver them, and then they would have a time of peace. But we don't want to go through that as Christians, do we? If he gives you victory in any area of your life, don't indulge yourself saying, oh, I can just partake just a little bit. It won't bother me. It won't hurt me. And then we find ourselves enslaved again as we were before. Take those victories and build on those victories that God alone can give you. He loves you. Is any sin unpardonable? Not if God loves us. Not if Christ was valuable enough to pay the price for all of our sin, and he certainly is. So the only sin that is unforgiven is unbelief. Not coming to him by faith, believing in what God has done for us in the person of Jesus Christ. Whether you're unsaved or saved, we can do that today. Put our complete trust in him, and he will give us the victory because he loves us so much. He loves you so much today. Father, we thank you today that you have provided for each of us this salvation, that when we are drawn to understand that we are sinners, that we can come to you for forgiveness, that we have violated the righteousness of God himself, and we can come to you and receive the righteousness of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And Lord, that we can avoid a future judgment. And Lord, we thank you for our salvation. And I pray, Lord, that if there is anyone here today who has not trusted you, that they would put their faith in you today and trust completely in you. And I pray, Lord, for each of us, that as you work in the power of your Holy Spirit in our lives, that we might conquer sin, that you would give us victory, and that we might hold on to and build on to that victory and see our lives change for the glory of our Lord and Savior. So bless us as we do these things now. In Jesus' name, amen.